Thank you, Joel. Good morning. Hope you guys are all doing well. It's so good to see you, see your faces, and those of you online, welcome. And though we can't see you, you can see us, and we love you, and praying for everyone in the body right now. Just a quick highlight of a newsletter you guys got in your bulletins. I know that we have a lot of newsletters here for missionaries, but this is a brand new newsletter that we're putting out, and it is a general newsletter from the missions of Calvary Chapel Saving Grace, called SGWM, Saving Grace World Missions. And so it's the first time in all of these decades that we've been doing missions that we've actually done one for just general, for what we're doing as a church, as a missions, sending organization. And so want to encourage you to just take this home. We don't have a sign-up place yet on our website, but we should have that by next week. And this is a quarterly newsletter just for you to have a little bit a better understanding of the different things that we do as a church missionally. There's a lot, so it's really hard sometimes to get your head around it, if you would, and to understand what's happening. So this is just a great newsletter for you guys to check out, and hopefully you can get signed up for that. We also have a special prayer request this morning. Curtis Bishop. Some of you know Chad and Janine Bishop. Chad was at our church forever. His dad, Curtis, who was really a part of our church for many, many years and moved to Arizona, is hospitalized with COVID. He's been on a ventilator. Chad and Janine have gone out there. The report is today he's doing a little bit better, but we would just ask for your prayers. Those of you who've been around Saving Grace a long time, you know Curtis, such an awesome guy, ran our barbecue ministry forever, just a great brother. So we're going to just pray for Curtis this morning and open the word. And we're also going to pray for today's the last day for our national pastors that we're promoting downstairs and opportunities to get involved. And then, of course, the fires, everyone's smelling the smoke and seeing the smoke and just praying for God's hand upon us. So let's pray, and we will be in the book of Acts this morning. Father, we thank you so much, God, for the opportunity you've given us to gather again together today. We don't take it for granted, Lord, as obviously it is a time where many believers aren't able to come together like we used to. And so we pray, Lord, that you would guide us, you would lead us today, Lord, in your word, Lord, that we would not waste this time as we gather together, Lord, but that we would really value this time together. We pray right now for our brother Curtis. We ask, God, that you would just touch his body. As a church, we gather together. We extend our arms, Lord, to heaven, and we just pray that you would bring healing, Father, to our brother, that you would strengthen his body, you would help him to fight, God, this disease, God, and that he, Lord, would come out strong, Father. We just pray for Chad and Janine and the kids and Curtis's wife and, Lord, just his family. And just pray that you would just wrap your arms around them and, God, that your peace would be there. Father, we do pray for the fires that are going on right now. Lord, we just ask that you would give grace, Father. We pray that you would just cause them to be quickly put out. And God, we just pray that you would use us, Father, as your church, Lord, in times like this, that we would be light in the midst of darkness, that we would be, Lord, able to reach out and to love people. And so we just praise you, God, and we thank you. And we just ask you to open your word as we close out this study this morning, the purpose of the church. God, we pray that you would just really open your word to us. Open the book of Acts to us. Give us, Father, a clear vision for, Lord, what you've called us to. And Lord, that you would just truly guide us and lead us in you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. All right, well, the purpose of the church, it's been 9 weeks. Can you believe it? Some of you might say, yeah, It's been a long 9 weeks for me. Some of you might be like, really? It's only been 9 weeks. So hopefully you've been blessed. Obviously, the most important, question as a believer is, what's the purpose of my life? And so as we've been talking about the church, of course, we are the church. This building is not the church. We are the church. What is the purpose for our existence? What is the purpose for our lives? In our study, and again, we'll be in the book of Acts this morning, so do open your Bibles there to Acts. We'll kind of be surveying through Acts. We've looked at kind of three areas, and we've gone over these. If you see, there's a handout there in the bulletins. I encourage you guys to follow along. It might help you track with me. We are going to be looking at several different points today, so it might be helpful. There you'll see the first three, one, two, and three there, as we have looked at these already. These are kind of like segments of this 9 week study we've done. We've done a few weeks in each of these areas. The first one, God's plan from the beginning. We saw that this isn't a secondary thought. This isn't an afterthought. This has always been God's heart. This has always been God's plan from the very beginning of time. And that is that the church would exist and the church would be here on this earth for a very specific reason. We saw back to the promise that God gave in the book of Genesis, Genesis 12, verse 3, to Abraham. We saw in the New Testament, it was called the mystery, meaning it was always in God, the gospel, but it was now revealed. And of course, in the New Testament, it is revealed through Jesus Christ. And then through the book of Acts and the rest of the epistles throughout the New Testament, we see that. Secondly, we saw God has no plan B. So if God has a plan to reach mankind through the gospel of Jesus Christ, we then looked at the five Great Commission passages that we find in the Gospels in the beginning of Acts. We saw an overwhelming amount of scripture that points us to that God has no ulterior plan, or no alternate plan, I should say. Listen, the church is commissioned to carry the gospel to the world. If the church fails to carry the gospel to the world, there's no plan B, okay? That's it. God has one method of bringing the gospel, and therefore, we saw that was the purpose of the church. And then we've been looking at, thirdly, the last 2 weeks, and this morning in our third week here, under the idea of God's plan for the local church, we've been looking at then how does that affect us as the local church, not just missionaries that are going out and sharing the gospel, but you and I that are not called necessarily to be a missionary, how does that affect us? And so we looked at two main statements, and I want to just refresh us again this morning, and they're written right there on your outline. The first one we saw was the purpose of the church's existence on the earth is for the evangelization and discipleship of all people. Okay, so this is the purpose of why the church is here still on earth. The rapture hasn't happened. We have a calling. Our calling and the reason we exist as the body of Jesus Christ, as the church, is for us to bring the gospel to the world. We're to not only bring it, but we're to disciple those in it. Secondly, we saw the next idea is the purpose of the local church's gathering is for the equipping or is for equipping believers to go fulfill their purpose in the evangelization and discipleship of all people. Okay? Those two things, if you don't remember anything from 9 weeks of this study, it might be possible, okay? If you don't remember anything, if you remember this, then it's going to alter the way you think about church. And of course, we did a whole study on the purpose 2 weeks ago of the local church's gathering. There's so much confusion today. People don't understand why we come together on Sundays, why we gather as the body of Christ. They think that's the end. We talked about the difference between the cruise ship and the aircraft carrier mentality in the church, the cruise ship kind of church. We come together to get. We come together to have fun. We come together to receive. We come together to be served. It's kind of the idea that I go on a cruise ship and that's what it's like. We're just kind of cruising and we exist to just exist and we exist to experience. We exist to experience God. We exist to experience life. All of those things would be true. Of course, we want to experience God deeply. We want to experience the fullness of life. I mean, there's scripture on all of that. But the reason that we're still here on the earth, the reason the local church gathers is to get equipped to go fulfill their mission. Most people don't understand the mission. They think actually the mission is go to church. Once I go to church, I'm good. And, you know, today we think a strong Christian is someone who goes to church regularly on Sundays, who, you know, goes to work and walks with God at work and is a man or a woman of integrity, someone who is a good godly husband or godly wife, someone who pays their taxes, someone, you know, who serves maybe in the children's ministry or serves in the church. Like, that would be considered someone that gives, you know, faithfully. That'd be considered a really strong, mature Christian. And it would be. That's a great thing. I'm not knocking any of that. You know, someone that reads their Bible daily, and that's a strong believer. That's the purpose of our life. But that's just the ABCs of Christianity. That's the, yeah, everyone should be doing that. But we've exalted that. Like, that's elder material, okay, in the church today. And of course, all of those things I'd look for in any leader. I mean, if they're not doing those things, of course, we wouldn't be raising them up as leaders. But the reality is we gather together to do more than just live out our Christianity. But we are on this earth to be a witness of Jesus Christ, and we gather to get equipped. And again, that the aircraft carrier is so important. The whole mentality of that. Okay, an aircraft carrier has about 6,000 personnel on it. There are 6,000 people with about 50 jets on the deck of the aircraft carrier that are going to be launched out. That is 50 to 1. That means there's 50 personnel to every jet that is taking off, okay? And the jets, you know, the think of the image between the cruise ship and the aircraft carrier. That's what we are. We're to be an aircraft carrier. We are in the army of God. We are soldiers, the Bible says, of Jesus Christ. And we are here, and all of us have a role, and only 50 to 1 of us are going to literally go out and be a missionary. What about the 50 that stay back? We all have a place, and our goal is to launch the aircraft off of the deck. Our goal is to send out. Our goal is to see the battle being won, right? And if that aircraft carrier doesn't understand their mission, if they're coming and going, well, I'm here to get, they're not going to be able to fulfill their role. So we've been looking at that and working through that. Today we are going to continue in the section, God's Plan for the Local Church, as we look at part 2 of this. We looked at it last week, and that is this phrase, the purpose of the church as a sending hub. And so that brings you to about the middle of your outline there. The purpose of the church is a sending hub. And I want to continue. Last week, we got into some really practical stuff about the body of Christ and the different roles you and I each have and our place in the body and how we fit into this whole thing. In Acts, we are going to kind of survey Acts because in the book of Acts, we see 3 main church hubs. What do I mean by that? Churches that from that church are sending out people to reach the world of the gospel. So there's 3 examples for us to look at in the book of Acts. And so if you're following the outline, we're going to come to the first church hub. Does anyone know what it is? What church is it in the book of Acts that we come to first that's a sending church? You guys can yell it out. Jerusalem. That's the first one. Jerusalem. So you can fill this in. The church of Jerusalem, Acts 1 through 7, chapters 1 through 7, Jerusalem. We're going to just kind of take here from these three sending hubs that we're going to look at, Jerusalem being the first one, we're going to find seven principles. We're going to glean out seven principles, practical principles of what a sending hub looks like. Okay, now I want to remind us today that these principles that we're going to glean, these things we're going to pull out, are not things that we're, inputting into the scriptures. It's not like, hey, I read a book on the purpose of the church, and I'm just going to kind of give you the seven chapters I read. Like, what we're doing right now, again, the idea of equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, what we're doing right now is we're coming to the Word of God, we're looking and examining the Word of God, looking at the Word of God and examining it and saying, God, speak to us of what a sending church is to look like. That is huge. That is so important. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Listen, this is what God has given to you and I to know and to understand. So that's what we're doing. So as we go through this and you go, well, you know, writing down the Bible verses, because I'm trying to say, this is what the Bible says, not what Pastor Trent says. This is what the Bible says, what a good sending church is, what the purpose of the church is. So we come to the first principle, and you'll note there on the second side of, the first side of there, you see right under the Church of Jerusalem, you see the first principle, and it just says, we see is, ... and we'll fill it in, they were a healthy, well-fed church. So here's our first principle of seven. The early church, the church hub, the examples we have that they were a healthy, well-fed church. So important. If we aren't strong, if we aren't healthy, we can't send anyone. Okay? This is huge, because a lot of times people begin to think, well, you know, especially coming to our church, like it's all about missions and missions and missions. No, hold on. Let's just step back here. We will do no missions. We will raise up no missionaries. If we, right here, sitting here, listening online, we, Calvary Chapel, Saving Grace, in your Belinda, are not seeking the Lord, are not in the Word, are not in fellowship, this is why we put the most of our efforts into building the hub and making it strong. This is why we have life groups. In the new year, we're going to be launching new growth groups with a curriculum pointed towards discipleship. Okay? Those are like discipleship groups. They're awesome. They're, you know, three or four guys or gals getting together, seeking the Lord, going through the Word together, praying for one another, building relationship, challenging, encouraging one another in the Lord. How many of us could use that in our lives? The curriculum is designed where it's what is a disciple, what is the purpose of a disciple, and how do you make disciples? Because this is our calling. So, you know, getting in a growth group, being a part of a life group, we find that we fulfill what it says, Acts chapter 2, that's the early church, it's the summary of the Church of Jerusalem, what they did. Acts 2:42 says, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. Now, last week we looked at this. We also looked at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, where it says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up or the edifying of the body of Christ. We saw last week the word equipping is the word that could be translated to repair or to mend. Now listen, we are a broken people. We come to Christ. And it's through the ministry of the local church where we are mended, where we are healed, where we are repaired. The word is used for the mending of the nets in the Gospels. The word is used in secular Greek of the first century. It's used for the setting of a broken bone. You speak about literal healing, setting something that's broken, repairing it so that it might be whole. That's what the Lord, through his word and the Holy Spirit and the body, don't ever miss that, and the body, is doing in our lives. He's mending us. You can't be a Christian by yourself. It's not God's intention. That's why there's a church. The church is the place of health, the place of growth. Of course, a good, healthy church. If we're going to send people out, if we're going to do missions, if we're going to reach people, we first need to be transformed. It's one of the problems we find today in the church. We're coming to the cruise ship, and we're coming to get, but we're not really growing. We're coming to more get entertained than to get challenged. We're coming to get some kind of encouragement, but don't ever bring up, my sin or rebuke, or I'm actually not planning to change is a mindset. Like, if you came to church this morning and didn't have the idea, like, Lord, I want to be changed, I want to be challenged, I want to grow, you need to change your thinking. Because, I came to church today to get transformed. And this is what's so vital and so important. So we saw this last week. We saw that when there's a healthy church, the Lord expands it through evangelism, through church planting, that we can be a sending hub. In Acts chapter 2, it's a summary of Acts 2, verse 42 through 47. There's a summary there of the early church, and I'll read just another part of it, Acts 2, verse 46 through 47. It says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple, this is what the church did, and breaking bread from house to house. So there's the gathering on Sunday, the home fellowships, life groups, growth groups, right? They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Notice praising God. There was the worship of God. This is a healthy church. And having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. The Lord builds his church. Now, adding to the church daily those that are being saved isn't only adding to our local body those that are being saved, but through our body, all that are being saved. I want to tell you, there's tens and thousands of people that have come to Christ through our church that you have never seen or never met. And that's phenomenal. Like, think about it. I want us to expand our view and understand what God is doing. There has got to be, though, health. We have to be a healthy, well-fed church if we're going to be a sending hub. Now, the second sending hub in the book of Acts was what church? What's the second one in the book of Acts? First one was Jerusalem. Antioch. Someone say Antioch? Okay, there we go. Antioch is the second one. Antioch, really the verse there is Acts 11, verses 19 through 26. And just one verse out of that portion. This is where Barnabas comes to Antioch. God's working. And he's like, man, I need help. And so he goes and finds a guy named Saul of Tarsus, later on to be known as the great apostle Paul, to help him. But look at what they do. Acts 11, here's a healthy church. Here's a healthy another church hub. And when they had found him, he brought him to Antioch so that it was for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Healthy. They grew. What did they do? They studied the word of God. How are we going to bring the message of the Lord to the world, to our neighbors, if we don't know the word of the Lord? They studied the word of God. That's why, of course, on Sunday mornings, we have a full-on Bible study. Like, some churches aren't used to that. Some people, I watch them. They come into our church first time ever here, and they're just like, they don't know what to do. Like, it's just like, whoa, he's going to keep going. Whoa, like I can see him. Like, I go, oh yeah, they're not used to this. God bless them. I hope they survive this sermon. But we're studying the word, right? It's not like I'm just throwing out my ideas and move on, give you an illustration, a cool story about my life and make you laugh. And, you know, it's like, what does the Bible say? So to do that, we got to dig in like we're doing right now. We got to start really digging in. Notice they're first called Christians in Antioch. Like, God, this is health. This is a transformation that's taking place. What's the third church hub in the book of Acts? So we have Jerusalem, we have Antioch. I heard it softly. I need to hear it louder. Ephesus. Ephesus. That's right, Mom. I learned everything I know from her. Ephesus, and we saw this last week, okay? In Ephesus, what happened? Ephesus would be Acts 19. Acts 19, verses 9 through 10, it says, "And when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitudes, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus." This continued for 2 years. Now, note this. So they're studying, they're growing, they're learning. Note this. "So that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." Notice it doesn't say Ephesus. It says all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord. Because a healthy church produces evangelism and discipleship beyond its local community. That's just the natural outflow of a healthy church. And so for us to be a sending hub, we have to first be healthy. We ourselves have to be engaged. We ourselves have to be growing. It's not just about doing missions. It's about being on mission. It's about you and me here, the 50 behind that are supporting the one that's going out. We've got to be strong. We've got to be growing. We've got to be healthy. And when that's happening, healthy missionaries will be sent out from our church. It's important for us to understand that. And we need to grasp this, and we need to see this. If we aren't healthy, we can't send well. We can't reach the world. We won't be a base for operations. Well, on the second side of your outline, there are six more principles that we need to try to fit in. So some of them I'm just going to really blow through. Take the notes. Take down the verses. Think through this. I wish we had life groups going on right now, because this is some good stuff to really chew on. I will say that the six principles we're going to glean are from that second church, the Church of Antioch, the second sending hub, because this is, by the way, the Church of Antioch is Paul's sending church. Okay, it's Paul's sending church. And he went out from that church, and that church became a real model for us of a sending hub. So second principle that we see is they sent out short-term missions. Again, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about a sending hub, a healthy church? They sent out short-term missions. In Acts chapter 11, if you're already there, if not, turn there. Acts chapter 11, verse 37 through 30, it says, "And in those days," this is right after they first called disciples in Antioch, "in those days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar." Now, the verse I want us to focus on is verse 29. "Then the disciples, each according to his ability." Just note that. Just pause for a minute. We think, I don't know what I can do. I don't know. I can't do everything. Like, the disciples, each according to his ability, it says, sent relief to the brethren dwelling in Jerusalem. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Short-term missions is one of the first things that the church of Antioch was engaged in. After they were a healthy church, they were growing, they were learning, they began to reach out. They began to see beyond the borders of their city. We as the sending church, the senders, okay, you're either a sender or you're a goer. You realize there's only two kinds of Christians. God's called me to go to the ends of the earth, or God's called me to send those that are going. Okay? So that's really important that we want to think through. What are you? And this is a question I want you to think about. Yeah, what am I? Well, if you're not called to be a missionary and to go, you're called to send. Okay? So, well, good. Then I need to know. That's what the church hub is about. Sending. So how does that work out? How do we send? And so we see here that they started with short-term missions. I believe that every Christian needs to go on a short-term missions trip in their life, without question. Your eyes will be so opened to the reality of the world. And if possible, Mexico's a great place to start. But if possible to go on a plane overseas, it will change your life forever. Listen, short-term missions trips don't change the world. You can write this down. It's important. Short-term missions don't change the world, but they make world changers. If you talk to any missionary that's being honest, short-term teams aren't always the greatest blessing for them. It's a lot of work for them, and sometimes it's annoying. Now, there's a certain way to do it, and of course, at our church, we seek to do it the right way. That is, asking the missionary actually what they need, not telling them, hey, we're bringing a youth team, and we're going to do this and that and the other thing, and can you make that happen? He's just a tour guide, and then when we leave, his ministry's usually affected in a negative way because we went in there and just bombed the place and messed things up. We don't know the culture, all the stuff going on, and, you know, oftentimes missionaries are really gracious and just, you know, do that. Listen, you and I going on a missions trip isn't going to change the world. But you know what it's going to do? It's going to change you. It's going to change you. And that's why I would strongly encourage anyone to go on a short-term missions. The third principle that we see is they sent out long-term missions. They sent out long-term missionaries, I should say. In chapter 13, turn there with me in Acts. Chapter 13, it says, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Now, list five guys. Barnabas, note that. Barnabas is one of them. Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Mammon, who was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. Those three we don't know a lot about. And then the fifth one is, and Saul. Saul, again, is Paul the Apostle. His name hasn't changed. It will change in verse 9 of chapter 13. And it says, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. So being sent out, verse 4, by the Holy Spirit, and it tells us where they went. Now I want you to notice that it always starts in prayer. They are praying. The Lord started speaking. How many of us, and I should say as a church, we gather together, and of course this is the leaders of the church, and I can assure you this is what our leaders do, and of course we need to do it better. We always can improve in this, but they gathered together and they prayed just to minister to the Lord. Listen, we're about to embark on a week of prayer and fasting. Okay, it will be the second week of January. Why do we do that? Because we want to look really spiritual. No, hopefully not. We do that because we are setting apart a week at the beginning of the year to just wait on the Lord. And we'll talk more about it. We'll talk about where does fasting fit in? Of course, they're fasting here. Where does that fit in? They're just saying, Lord, we're just here. We want to hear what you have to say. We want to understand who you are. We're just going to wait upon you. We're going to pray and we're going to fast and we're going to minister to you. And as they did, the Holy Spirit had room to speak. We're so busy. We're so distracted. We can't often hear what the Spirit is seeking to say. And what did he say to this amazing church hub there in Antioch? Separate to me. Like, here's, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. And then what does it say? It says here that the church sent them out. Notice verse 3. Then having fasted and prayed, so they prayed over the word and fasted a little bit more, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. And then they were sent out, verse 4, by the Holy Spirit. This is a really important verse. Two verses. The church sends. Make no mistake about it. People don't go out on their own. The people that go out without a church behind them suffer greatly. Unfortunately, today, there are many missionaries that go out on their own because they're forced to, because their church doesn't send. Their church just doesn't send them out. And it's so important for us to see that we need to be those that send. But of course, it's the Holy Spirit ultimately that sends. The goal of the leadership of a church always is to get in line with the Lord, is to hear from the Lord. The goal of leadership that we have as, and I speak as our, as the senior pastor of our church, my main goal is to hear the heart of God and follow the will of God for the church, whether that's the church's finances, whether that's the church's resources, whether that's what we do as a body, what we engage in, whatever it might be, is God, what is your heart? I'm not the leader of this church. The Lord is the head of the church, and he is building his church. When I think I'm the leader of this church, you and I are in big trouble. Because I'm going to lead you down a hole, okay? But we want to be led by the Spirit. But in saying that, because people will take that and go, well, I'm just led by the Spirit. I'll do whatever I want. God created the church, established the church, established leaders, and it is important for us to be under those leaders and to be sent out, to be confirmed. Yes, that is the Lord. The hands being laid on. What are those? They don't do anything special. If I come and lay my hands on you and pray for you, it's not like, whap! You know, you're just going to get the zap from the Lord and everything's, you know, it's just simply us saying, we agree that God is calling you, that God is working, that God has this, and we're able to lay our hands on. And it's just a sign of us standing with you in what God has called you to. It's very powerful when it's done right. Now, it's important for us to understand this. Listen, Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15 say it this way. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says, then, how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher, right? And we've talked about this verse. This is the unreached. 3 billion people today. 3 billion with a B today have never heard the gospel. How can they be saved? Paul says they can't be. And then verse 15, he says, and how shall they preach unless they are what? Sent. They must be sent. A missionary is nothing without his sending church behind him. That's you. That's me. We are the senders. This is so important for us to understand. And, you know, we use the phrase like the tip of the spear. A missionary is the tip of the spear, you know, but they're just the tip. I used to have some really sweet African spears in my office. I was doing some marriage counseling once with a couple, and it was getting rough. Like, I was afraid for my life. It was actually, the guy, he was, you know, he worked out. He's a buff dude. It's actually his wife. I mean, I was like, and I remember looking in the corner and I had this pack of spears over there that I brought back from Africa. And so after that meeting, I took him out. There's no spears anymore. I was scared. I'm like, a spear's going to go through me. I mean, I'm going to get speared right here in Yorba Linda doing marriage counseling. You know, so I would have brought in a spear, but I didn't have my spears. But I do have an arrow, okay? So this is legitimately an arrow from the bush in Africa. The Nationals there make these arrows. It's got some pretty cool barbs here. This is, you know, bush life in Africa. Okay, so if I take the tip of this arrow and I break it off and I throw that tip, let's say I want to hit Jim in the back. I wouldn't really. Jim's a good friend of mine. But let's say I wanted to hit Jim in the back and I threw that. Anyone sitting here, probably the arrow's going to hit. It's just going to tumble, right? Just end over end. There's no accuracy. There's nothing. What drives this arrow? If I put this arrow in a bow and I pull it back, okay, I can't say Jim. Let's say that wreath, right? That's a good bullseye, right above Jim, there in the door. And I pull this back, I have an accuracy. I could go over all of your guys' heads and I could hit that. It's because of the shaft of the arrow. This is you and me. These are the senders. The arrow is the missionary. They're the tip of the spear, but they are nothing without the shaft. We need to recognize that no one's going to reach the world by themselves. No missionary out there is going to be able to reach the world. We are the shaft to the spear. We are the shaft to the arrow. We are the one that thrust that arrow through the sky, through the air, that it might hit its intended target. It's what makes it strong. It's what makes it accurate. And so we as a church need to recognize we are called by God to send. That isn't, oh, hey, the missions department at Calvary Chapel Saving Grace is called to send. No, they're called to facilitate. They're called to help. They're called to provide opportunities for us. Our missions, quote, organization, Saving Grace World Missions, which is the newsletter you got, which God has done amazing things. Tremendous. I step back every year and I kind of assess. I will tell you, whatever's gone on this year, I can tell you God is continuing to build his kingdom through Calvary Chapel Saving Grace's missions department. Listen, we call it SGW as if it's a separate entity from Calvary Chapel Saving Grace. Let me tell you what makes Saving Grace World Missions what it is. The body of Christ at Calvary Chapel Saving Grace. Without you guys, we have nothing because we just broke the shaft right off. I'm telling you right now, you guys are so important. And I want to tell you that this coming year, you guys can do so much more in reaching the world as we gather together and we get engaged and we get involved in what God wants to do through his church. It is a powerful, powerful tool that God's, listen, he's built the foundation, he's laid the groundwork. This little church, most people don't know this. This is why, like, we got to put out a newsletter or something. And we can't put everything in the newsletter. I mean, I did a conference in South Asia last year in November. It was like one of our last big missions trips. We had 90 workers through Saving Grace World Missions attending that conference that are all nationals that are working in the most unreached peoples of the world. 90 of them. I know because we forked out the money to get them all there on a train. Okay, so I'm like, how many do we have? It costs like $7,000 to get them all there. 90 workers. The five that are on the table downstairs are just five of so many more. They're just the five that need some people to put a shaft behind their tip. And it is so important for us to realize, like, God is growing. Now, that's just South Asia. I don't know how many of you are on the prayer page on Facebook for Pakistan. It's kind of a closed page, but you see what God's doing in Pakistan and reaching the Hindu tribes out there in that Muslim country, way out in the desert, and Nadim's taking his team out there. And I mean, God is opening doors. There are so many doors open, he doesn't know what to do. And just so you know, it's not like our church only has to do everything, but we're the hub, okay? We're the base, we're the foundation. I mean, God provides in such so many awesome and unique ways. I mean, for instance, Nadim was with me in Nepal last year, and We were up there, and there were some other pastors up there from other churches. We were doing a conference up there in Nepal. He came from Pakistan and Nepal. He can't come to the States. Presently, he hasn't been able to get a visa, so we meet there. We have a great time. He meets these pastors. We come back. COVID hits. He puts out an email about COVID. You know, we do some newsletters about it. And a church from up north gives $25,000 to COVID relief for Pakistan. Okay? Yeah. I mean, so we're a base, we're a hub. It doesn't mean that we have to supply everything under the planet Earth to reach the world, this little church, but we are the foundation. Listen, without the hub, that money would never have come. And it certainly wouldn't be able to be distributed in an integral way without the hub. As I told you last week, the most important giftings are accounting and administration in missions. And some people walked up to me afterwards and go, "Are you serious? Oh, you have no idea how serious I am." That is huge. But we have to understand that we are called to facilitate and to send. Okay, we need to move on. The fourth principle that we find, and this one's awesome. The fourth principle that we see is they cared for their missionaries. Here's where the rubber meets the road for you and I at Calvary Chapel Saving Grace. We have to care for our missionaries. The first thing I want to say is the sending church is still the missionary's home church. Let me say that again. The sending church is still the missionary's home church. It's their home. It's their body. Why do I say that? Why am I so excited about that? Because that is not the normal thinking in the American church and in the American Christian. For instance, someone was once sitting next to you in church. Next thing you know, they're gone. You've heard they've gone to the mission field. And you think, well, they no longer go to our church. They're doing their own church. And that's natural thinking. They're not in front of me. They're not here. They're not a part. Like, for instance, Jordan. Jordan was such a vital part of our church. He's now gone. Oh, he went home to his home church. And then eventually he's going to come back and we're going to send him out to the Middle East. And when we do, it's like, well, Jordan's in the Middle East. That's his church. We are his church. He will always be. It's like saying that when my sons, you know, two of them got married this year. They got married, moved out of our house. They're no longer my sons. Right? That would be insanity. You know, well, they're not around as much. I mean, the food bill's definitely gone down. Isaac moved out. Those of you that know Isaac know that. I mean, you know, so, but wait. It kind of went down because he comes over all the time and makes food. I just had to rethink that for a minute. You know, but you know, it's so important for us to understand this is their church, and we need to let them know that. We need to care for them. We need to relay that to them. I'll never forget, and this kind of illustrates where you know, sometimes our thinking is I was in an elders meeting, and we were talking about Amy, who's serving in South Asia, and one of our first single gal missionaries, and she went there, and she met her husband, Sam, and, you know, they're going to get married. Pastor Mike was going to be a part of the wedding, and, you know, of course, Amy, I mean, I'm our pastor, and I'm like, what would be better, to send me, for the church to spend the money to send me there to support Amy, to be with her on that day? Remember, her parents aren't going to be there. No one's going to be there from this church, Pastor Mike. And you know, Mike, he just doesn't have that many words, so no. But I was thinking, would it be better to send my wife to help Amy with it? I mean, she doesn't have her mom. Like, who's going to do her hair? Now, if you know my wife, it's like, you know, who's going to decorate for the wedding? Who's going to da-da-da-da-da-da? Well, I'm not. Sending me is kind of like a lame duck. Let's send my wife. So I bring it up in one of our meetings, and I bring it up, and And, you know, I think just in natural ignorance, and I think all of us have it, one of the elders, by the way, the elder's not here anymore, so if you're like, I know the elders, which one of them is it? You know, yeah, you guys are safe. But it was a really a eye-opener for me and a time of learning when one of the elders said, well, why would we send Debbie and spend all that money when there's girls in our church getting married? As if because you're in our church, you're more important, but the missionary's not in our church? See, the idea is the missionary isn't here physically, so the missionary's not connected here. And that's not right. That's unbiblical. The Apostle Paul's home church and base was Antioch. He went out from it, and he returned to it. If you can put up those next verses there, they just kind of show where Paul would go out, he would come back, he would spend time, he would go out, he'd come back. And so it's so important for us to see that. The sending church is to be in a partnership with a missionary in the gospel. And we've already looked at this last week in Philippians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, where Paul talks about his fellowship in the gospel. But I want to give you guys some practical ways that we can, you as individuals, can be involved in partnership with the missionary as a part of the sending church. Again, we aren't a sending church unless you're engaged. Okay? You are the church. The staff of the church, we went through this extensively last Sunday, is here to equip you to do the work of the ministry. We aren't. The office, our missions department, we're not the senders. We are the senders, all of us. And so how can you, living in Yorba Linda, you're not called to go be a missionary, how can you get engaged? Man, there are so many ways, simple ways. No one can say, I can't do that, it's too hard. First way I would suggest is join a care team. Every missionary, well, not every, because we don't have enough care teams. We have enough people in our church to do it. Talk to Tim and Marianne. Hi, Tim. How you doing? Tim's got a blue shirt on today like me, so you can't miss him. They oversee all the care teams, and they could definitely help direct you. What is a care team? Well, they gather together once a month. They pray. They get updates. They talk sometimes, a lot of times, to the actual missionary because of the technology we have, video chat. Get prayer requests, pray for, you know, encouraging what, listen, I've been around for a long time and I've seen the missionaries change once the care team started taking effect. I mean, they were like, wow, we're not forgotten. People care. You know, I mean, it's from Tim I get updates from about what's going on the mission field. He's a crucial part. He's not on staff with us. He's a volunteer brother in our church that is serving our missionaries. And many of you are part of that. To pray for them, to know them, to care. Another way is read their updates, their newsletters. One of the hardest things for a missionary to do is write a newsletter. I mean, it is like, you know, nails on a chalkboard. I mean, it's like dental work for a missionary. It really is. I mean, there's the newsletter. And then no one reads them. Like, read the newsletters. Like, the least we can do is get signed up. Get engaged, what God is doing, read the newsletters, and respond to them. You know that we set up the newsletter, so if you hit reply, you actually talk right to the missionary. He's not going to the office. Hey, great newsletter, thank you. I mean, I can respond in 10 seconds, one line, which radically blesses. If missionaries got like 30 of those responses, man, they would be excited to write their newsletters. There's actually someone out there in cyberspace that is listening, because that's what they do. They work all this time hard on their newsletter. They send it out. It's like, whew. There's no like button. You know, it's like, I don't even know if anyone saw it. And so simple, communicate with your missionaries. I mean, we've got, you know, video chats, texting, emails, you know, all these different apps where we, you know, can call them. Man, just talk to them. They would absolutely love it. Take care of your missionaries when they're on furlough. Missionaries come home from the field. We've got to take care of them. How do we do that? Well, one way is giving them a place to stay. Open your home. It's that simple. I mean, how many of us have an extra room in their home? I mean, last weekend I had someone at my house. This weekend I had two gals at our house staying in my office slash guest room. It's so easy to love them, to bring them into your home. They're on furlough. Can you imagine being on furlough? Remember, you're a missionary. You had a great job. You had a house. You had a car. You sold it all and you moved to the mission field. You come, quote, home, and you don't feel like you're at home. Where do I go? Well, my parents don't live here. My family doesn't live here. So do I go get a hotel? I got to rent a car. I mean, think about the expenses. Do you know how much more expensive it is to come home on furlough than just to stay where you are? But listen, we need them to come home on furlough. That's hugely important for them to do so. Acts chapter 14, verse 28, it says, Paul, this is him returning from his first missionary journey, and they stayed there a long time with the disciples. They came home on furlough. Acts chapter 18, this is again the church of Antioch. Paul comes back after his second missionary journey. And it says, when they landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church, that's the church of Jerusalem, he went down to Antioch. After he had spent some time there, he departed. They spent time. We need to open up our lives, open up our homes. What about transportation? Maybe we have an extra car. Maybe we could go without a car for a week. We have enough people in our house that have it to help them. Maybe a phone. Maybe they don't have a phone. These are just questions to ask missionaries. Do they have enough money? One of the tragic things that missionaries experience, and they feel, I'm going to be really honest with you guys, they feel unloved. I want you to know our missionaries aren't beggars. The hardest thing to get them to do is ask. They're Americans like you. And we're taught you work hard, you earn. That's why they hate writing newsletters. That they don't get to come home and say, hey, does someone have a car? Hey, you know, we don't really have the money because where we live in Africa, we live on $700 a month, and our furlough is going to cost us $5,000. You know, and it's like people call the church and say, hey, while that missionary's here on furlough, we want to stop our support. Let us know when they go back to the field. We'll start it up again. Can you imagine? Of course, I understand the thinking. Well, they're not doing the work of the ministry. Yeah, they are. And, you know, so furlough becomes almost a bummer instead of like, man, receive them in, right? They should come and get refreshed. A healthy church, come in here, get refreshed, get blessed, get encouraged. Acts says this, Acts 2, 44 through 45, it says, and all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. They just took care of each other. Acts 4 says this in verse 32, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things that he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Going on in Acts 4 to verse 34 and 35, it says, nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought their proceeds of the things that were sold, laid them at the apostles' feet, that they distribute to those that are in need. What's my point? What's the point that I'm bringing? The point that I'm bringing here is they cared. They took care of each other. Notice it says that they had lands, and I have it underlined, the S there, lands and houses. They had extra. Maybe you have an extra room. And you just open up your home and you bring them in. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be transformed. And you're going to be fulfilling your role in the Great Commission. You're going to be being used by God. A couple simple practical things is be interested in hearing about their ministry. Like when a missionary comes home on furlough, if we care about them, I'm just giving you guys some pointers of things that I've seen, be interested in hearing about their ministry. Let them talk. Ask them pointed questions. Give them opportunities to share. Take them out for coffee. Better yet, invite them into your home and feed them dinner and just sit with them and learn and hear from them. You will be blessed. Again, ask them questions. How's things going? Tell me about it. Show me pictures. It's kind of like when, you know, I go over to someone's house and they start asking me how my kids are doing. You know, I want to whip out the picture albums, the weddings we had, the, you know, whatever. When they were little, I had my little album. Look how cute he is. You know how we love to talk about our family. Missionaries would love, but they feel awkward. They feel like they're bothering you. They're wasting your time. You're like, oh, here we go. What's the end of this? Is he's going to ask me for money? You know? But we're the family. Get engaged because this is your mission. This isn't just their mission. The fifth principle, and we've got to move fast, is that the fifth principle we see is they receive from their missionaries. Now, here's a new one. They received. The church, the sending church, received from their missionaries. We can receive so much spiritual truth, discipleship, encouragement from a missionary that has a totally different perspective, that once lived like you do and now lives like they do. Do you think they can minister to us? Hey, we're not just here to minister to the missionaries. When they come home, and those of them that are gifted in teaching and are pastors, I do my best to give them the pulpit. We have dessert gatherings. Come to the dessert gathering here. Let them minister to you. This is what happens in Acts chapter 15. Paul comes back to the church of Antioch after leaving Jerusalem. In verse 35 through 36, it says, "And Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord." They ministered to the church they were sent from. That's huge. And I want to encourage you, have coffee with them. Let them minister to you. Let them challenge you. Ask them questions. Let them pray for you. Let them minister to us. It's not just about them raising funds on furlough. It's about them partnering with us and being engaged in the Great Commission. The sixth principle we see is they prayed for their missionaries. And you might say, well, that's a no-brainer, Pastor Trent. Pray for your missionaries. How many of us do? How many of us do? And I'm not trying to condemn us. I'm just trying to stir us. Like, if you don't, let's start. Well, I don't know what to pray for. Do you realize that SGWM on our website, which is simply sgwm.com, okay? That's Calvary Chapel Saving Grace's missions website. Now, if you're on our church website, you hit missions, it'll take you there. But really, see, sgwm.com stands for Saving Grace World Missions. There is a monthly prayer list that the missionaries give. You can sign up. You can get it emailed to you. I mean, it will take you a month to pray for them all, okay? But you could work through one missionary a day. I mean, part of your prayer time. Pray for them. Listen, when you start praying, you'll start caring. And I want you to remember that you and I are in a battle. Missions is a battle. It's a battleship. It's an aircraft carrier. It's not a cruise ship. And we're getting hit. And because we're engaged in missions, we're on the front lines. We're advancing on the kingdom of hell. We need to be spiritually fit to be a part of a sending hub. Our church, people come to our church and go, man, I've been a Christian for a long time. I've been in many churches. I've been involved. I've been an elder here. Man, there's just like this intense spiritual warfare at this church. Yeah, because it's a sending hub. Because if Satan can take down the body, if he can divide us over, you know, what kind of coffee we're serving on Sunday mornings, he can take down the gospel going to the unreached. You know, and you laugh, and I laugh, but stupid things, right? And we're like the husband and wife, we're getting a divorce, or what? The way you put the toilet paper on the thing. You know, it's like, what? How did that go to this? It's the enemy just coming in, and he wants to hit. We need to be prayed up. We need to be prayed up, church. There is a target on our back. We are a threat to the enemy. Tons of verses I could give you on prayer, but we'll move to point seven, principle seven. They participated with their missionary, they partnered with their missionary. And here's where we talk about, and I don't even have time to do it, but financial partnership. Supporting, listen to this, simply this. Support a missionary on an ongoing basis above and beyond your tithe. Whatever missionary it is, support one. That's part of Christianity. No, that's not saying, I'll take my tithe and I'll give it to a missionary. You realize the accounting department could do the same thing. You tithe to the church and they could support. That's not how it works. The tithes are for the hub. We need a strong hub. Then from that, we go what is called an offering above and beyond. And we give it to them. It could be $20 a month. It also could start there and grow. Many of you are supporting. And I want you to know, I have no idea who supports who. Okay? I just want you guys to know, I don't do the accounting. Purposely, I'm not allowed to know. So I can preach messages like this, and I'm not looking out going, well, yeah, that guy supports a lot. That person's never given a thing to missions. I have no idea. Okay? So you're like, hey, you were really looking at me today. And okay, hey, the Holy Spirit knows. I can tell you that much. But I want to just tell you, one of the most awesome things is to take your Starbucks coffee money and say, I'm going to surrender it to the glory of the God and the partnership of the gospel, and I'm going to reach the world that's never heard. And if we all did our share, what we were able to, think about what we could do. I mean, you do the math. If everyone gave 20, 30, 50 bucks a month in our church to a missionary, our missionaries would be doing good. And I've never met a rich missionary. We're not a prosperity gospel church. I've never met a rich missionary. They all need. They're all struggling. But you know what? I've also never met a bitter missionary. Ah, did ya? They just serving the Lord. They chose this life. But you know, that shaft, let it be strong. Let us thrust them forth. Let us send them out for the Lord and for his glory to fulfill our calling as the sending hub. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit, that you would meet us, Lord, this morning, as only you're able. Father, that you would take, Lord, just this mountain of truth, and you would just burn it into our souls. You would transform our thinking. You would transform our lives for your glory and for your honor. Use us, God. Strengthen us. Protect us, Father, we pray, that we might be a sending hub for many years to come. God bless, Lord, we pray, our church with servants, with laborers, with a vision to reach the nations. Bless, Father, our church with the finances, God, to pour in to Muslim countries, to Hindu countries, to Buddhist countries, into the lives of those that are the tip of the spear. Help us, God. Raise us up, God, for your glory and for your honor. Be magnified, we pray. Be glorified. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.